I told us two things yesterday. I said, I'm going to share two things that the tempter wants to do. Paul talked about the tempter trying to frustrate our faith. He talked about the tempter. Maybe let's read that because of people who are not here. Let's just read that scripture. 4 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. And that was where I started. Yeah. For this reason, when I could no longer endure what? Endure not coming. If you check chapter 2 from verse 18, it was talking about he wanted to come. He wanted to come again and again, but Satan hindered him. And so when he could no longer endure not coming, what did he do? I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter attempted you, and our labor might be in vain. The tempter, Satan, has tempted you. And I said, the tempter have the capacity to affect our faith. And that's why Paul is interested in that. He has the capacity to weaken our faith. So that our faith at the end of the day becomes useless. That's the way NLT put it, become useless. King James says, in vain. So which means that the work of salvation that has been done in us becomes useless. So the tempter has that capacity. And I said, how is he going to achieve that? I said, by two things. I said, number one, by false doctrine. By false doctrine. I'm not going to labor on that. As a matter of fact, by God's grace, God helping us, the theme for the next year conference, I want to say convention, not convention. Though it's the same, it's just semantics anyway. But we're going to be dealing on that, about false teachers, false prophets, and not that, God helping us. So that is God's going to do a false teaching. But the second thing I want to say, the second way by which you would do it is to what I call persecution. When our sister Stafeva was talking yesterday to some of us who listened to her story, she was talking how she was being persecuted by even her friends who are not, some of them might even be born again, but they see what she's doing as too spiritual. You are doing overdue. So persecution is one of the ways by which the devil tried to make us to lose our faith. And we have to be aware that in the days in which we live, we are going to have to be persecuted. It is something we must be aware. It is something we must expect. It is something we must be awakened to. The persecution is part of the package for those who want to follow God. We're going to get to that. But my focus is how to actually handle persecution. That's my focus. How do I handle persecution? Let's read Bible, Luke chapter 21. This is our Lord Jesus Christ from verse 5. Luke 21 from verse 5. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stone and donation, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will this thing be? And what sign will there be when these things were about to take place? And he said to them, take heed that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time will draw near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotion, do not terrify, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famine and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things will happen, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. And Jesus here is talking to his disciple. So persecution is one of the things we should expect. as believers. We must not be, we must not see persecution as something strange to us. Because persecution is part of the package. As a matter of fact, when the disciple, I think it was Barasam that was in the scripture yesterday, when the disciple was asking Jesus Christ, said, "We have left all to follow you. We have left all to follow you." I wish I can get that scripture. I think it's in Mark chapter 9. He said, "We have left all to follow you." He said, "What will you have to gain?" You know, but look at the contrast here. In our own days, we actually try to follow Christ to gain all. That's where we have today. People come to Christ to have all. But they say, we have left all to follow you. What would we have to gain? And what did he say then? Let's read on. Verse 29. Verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, "As surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers and sister or father or mother or what?" Pronounce that one. His wife part of it. So you're also there. Wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. Okay? Who shall not receive an hundredfold now in time? And you need to put this in context, because if you say receive an hundredfold, is this talking about receive an hundredfold of wife? So I can have multiples of wife. You have to put scripture in context. So, hundredfold, now in this time, houses, brothers, and sisters. So, when you talk about hundredfold of houses and brothers and sisters, it's not talking about your biological sisters and brothers. Because we're in Christ Jesus, we have brothers and sisters. Are you understanding that? That even when he was talking about the fact that he was rejected by his own parent, but the church that he belongs to at that time embraced him. Your family rejected you, but because you are in Christ Jesus, we have other family who have embraced you. And that's what he's talking about. So even you have to deny your parents, your relative because of him, then you still have them in hundredfold. Because in the kingdom, we have brothers and sisters. You're my brother, you're my sister. Because of what? Christ. Are you understanding what we are talking about here? Okay, but this is not my emphasis. Sisters and mothers and children and what? And with what? And with what? And with what? We don't normally read that. Huh? So you see, please, let's sit right, please. Don't sleep last like this. Sit right. Yeah. And with what? Persecution. Where? In the age to come, eternal life. So persecution is part of the package. Persecution is what? Persecution is what? Persecution is what? Persecution is what? Act 14:22. Strengthen the souls. Okay, let's start from verse 21. Let's read it in. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and then Antioch. Strengthen the souls of who? The disciples. And exhorting them to do what? To continue in... That's the faith we are talking about. That faith. To continue in the faith. Saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom. So we cannot enter the kingdom without tribulation, right? It is English. Hello? Can we enter the kingdom without many tribulation? Huh? Actually, need respond. Can we enter the kingdom without many tribulation? Because if this scripture is true, then we can't enter the kingdom without tribulation. And so we must understand that this is part of the package. Persecution is part of the package. That's what Peter said. When you see these things, can't it not strange? When you fought, is it Peter or James that said that? When, okay, it was, I think it was Peter. When you fall into diverse temptation. The word temptation is the same thing that's talk about trials. That I've come to what? To try you. Hello? Wow. God is saying something deep to me here. Now look at something. You know, Jesus said, those who are forsaking their father, their mother, and other, they will have an hundredfold of brothers and sisters and houses with persecution. So what I'm saying is this, that persecution is part of the package. And so we must expect it to come. We must prepare for it. Then we must know how to handle it. Because if you don't know how to handle it, listen, let me say this. God is not the source of persecution. God does not persecute his own. Satan is the source of persecution. Hello? But God allowed persecution because it's part of his tools to develop genuine faith in us. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's read from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. Or let's read from verse 3. Let's read from verse 3 because of time. I didn't plan to go to do this. I don't know what I'm going about. This is not even part of what I plan to do. But I just feel. It says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Who has kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. Let's go on, please. In this you greatly rejoice. Look at this. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We have been grieved by various trials. Look at verse 7. It says you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith be much precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to what? Praise, honor, glory at when? So when Jesus Christ said, when the Son of Man will come, will he find faith on the earth? Now, what is he going to? Because if he's coming for faith on the earth, people who are still faithful until he will come. Now, persecution, trials are some of those things he uses to produce that faith in us. And that's why it is part of the package. So, he didn't allow persecution to kill us. He didn't allow persecution because he doesn't want us to get to the end, like my brother said. But he allowed persecution because he uses that, even though the devil brought it. But he allows it, and then that is his raw material, that is his tool to what? To give that genuineness of faith. Can I have this in NLT? This is verse 7. This is verse 7 in NLT. Look at this. These trials will show that your faith is what? Are you seeing this? So the persecution. So when Favor was talking about yesterday that he was being persecuted, the lecturer was persecuting her. You know, the normal thing that the devil wants you to do is to give up. But those are the, you know, she mentioned something. I don't know whether some of you pay attention to some of these things she said. She said something. She said, if she has gained admission before that time, she will have messed up her life. Because the Bible said, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's something that God will not allow you to be exposed to because he knows you are not being equipped enough to handle it. Whatever persecution that you face in life, whatever trials that you face, you must understand something very clear. That you are facing it because God knows that you can bear it. Is your father. He will not expose you to something that he knows you cannot bear. He won't do that. He won't. So if he's exposing you to it, it's because you can bear it. Those things are not meant to break you. They are meant to make you. Perfection is not allowed to break us. They are meant to strengthen our faith. That when you are done, you know, Job said, he knows the way that I take. After he has tried me, I shall what? I shall come forth as what? As gold. And then what happened eventually to Job? If you check the latter end of Job, look at Job 42. Let's check the latter end of Job. And to see why God persecutes people. It's not to kill us. I'm saying because we need to understand that persecution is part of the package. Don't run away from it. Those are the things that God uses to what? To strengthen our faith. Job 32 from verse 42. Okay? Then Job replied to the Lord. We're going to read to verse 4 or so. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hide counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eyes have seen thee. It's like there's a level of my understanding about you that was different from where I was coming from. So when Satan suggested that to God, God permitted Satan to go ahead because God knows that that will strengthen the faith of Job. Not to break him. Listen, if God knows that Job will not be able to withstand it, he won't permit Satan. Yeah. If God knows that Job can't withstand it, he will not permit Satan to go ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's chapter 12 now. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. Verse 11. Okay, I think it's verse 13. Give me verse 13. Yeah. Look at this. No temptation has taken you except such as is what? Common to man. But look at this. But God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Because he's a loving father. If me, a natural father, will not ask my daughter or my son to do something I know they are not able, how much more God? Huh? He said, but with the temptation, it will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So if you cannot bear it, listen to this. If you are exposed to a temptation or persecution and you cannot bear it, it's not because of God, it's because you failed to bear it. Huh? So God allowed temptation to strengthen us. So what is the purpose of persecution from the perspective of Satan? Why did Satan persecute us? For what purpose? Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at the parable of the sower that Jesus gave. The interpretation. Verse 20. Matthew 13 verse 20. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when, look at it, when, not if. When, not if. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. Listen, as you live here, you begin to see persecution that will begin to arise up. We go running after you because of the word you have heard. So you need to be prepared for that. Something begin to confront you, to challenge you, not to follow what you have heard. He said, because of the word, immediately he stumbled. The word stumble, if you check NLT, let's read that scripture from NLT. That verse 21. But since they do not have deep root, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problem or are persecuted for believing God's word. They do what? They fall away. So why does Satan bring persecution? To make us to fall away. Do you understand that? Is that clear? Is that clear? He doesn't want that. He doesn't want God to have that faith he's talking about. That when it comes, he wants us to fall away. But my concern here, with the few time I have, is to, how do I deal with persecution? Because most of the time, this persecution comes from people that are familiar to us. You can imagine pastor talking about his own mother cursing him. And he does that every day. And he will say, except you didn't drink this breast of mine, that is when you will prosper. You know, you can imagine your own mother saying that to you every day. That you cannot make it in life. Because you became a Christian. And for you to know you will not make it, except you didn't drink the breast. Now, listen. If you don't really know the God you are serving, that already has set you on a path of destruction. Now, in that situation, what are we expected to do? And if care is not faking, now listen to this carefully. Listen to this. What the devil does, listen, let me say this to us, because most times we don't know this. The devil knows he can't fight you. But most times we don't even know it. The devil knows he can't get you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He knows he can't get you. Do you know what he does? He brings you out of your cover. He tries to lure you away from God and brings you to come into the realm of the flesh so that he can deal with you. Because at that realm, you have come to his own realm. The Bible says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the word, after the flesh, but after the spirit. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? Because that was our realm before we met Christ. We were with Christ. I mean, we were with Satan on that realm. It was the realm of the flesh. That was the realm of Satan. Now, when we join ourselves to Christ, we became one with him, then we are supposed to walk in the spirit. As long as you are walking in the spirit, devil, Satan can't catch you. They know born and where. But what he does is this. He tries to lure you away. Brings you away from that realm of the spirit to make you to walk in the realm of the flesh. And how did he do it? How does he do it most of the time? When his mother was persecuting him, why am I struggling pronouncing persecution for crying out loud? And some of you do that. I mean, you have brothers, you have sisters, you have friends who persecute you. You have boss in the office. Who sit on your, you know, we use that word. Who sit on your promotion? And then you know what we do? We start walking in the flesh and telling God to kill them. That if this woman will not allow me to succeed, then God, kill my mother. Is that not the best thing? Because if you have a mother that is cursing you every day, let her go. You are wishing her to even die in your heart. And that is the fleshy way of dealing with persecution. So begin to pray revengeful prayers. God, all my enemies who are destroying my life, let them die, die, die. And we have preachers who are teaching you to go against the word of God. So how did Jesus handle persecution? How did he handle persecution? Because how you deal with it is very important. How you deal with it, because if you deal with it in the flesh, you will not succeed. And the devil wants us to deal with it in the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. I don't have time to read plenty scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Talking about Jesus Christ, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 10. So you see, when Jesus Christ was reviled, he did not revile back. He didn't threaten. You don't know who I am? I will kill you now. My brother said, I shouldn't get promotion. He would die. I was listening to a man of God, and he was saying that he has come to realize that his mother is a witch. And then what he's going to do is that he will kill her. No, you can see a man speaking like this with authority, you know, speaking error authoritatively. Look at Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5 verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for thine is the kingdom of heaven. So there is a blessing for you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, firstly for my sake. What is it we should do? Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Friends, we are going to be persecuted, all of us. But how should we handle it? Rejoice. 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 Matthew chapter 5 from verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 43. We don't retaliate. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 43. Let me read the NLT. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who persecute you. Friends, who is talking here? Jesus Christ. So when I'm being persecuted by those I call enemy, what the Bible says we should do? Bless them. But why do we have teachings that talks about the fact that you should kill your enemies? Those are the enemies of the cross. Those are preachers who are enemies of the cross. Teaching something that is indirect to what the gospel talked about. Look at this. When you love, he said, in this way, verse 45, in that way you will be acting as two children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. This is how to handle persecution. Pray for those who are persecuting you, who are speaking evil of you because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Don't wish them to die. Do you know why? Because they don't know. When Christ was on the cross and he looked at the people who persecuted him, who put him on the cross, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You might think that that is Jesus Christ. When Stephen was being persecuted, was being stoned, friends, It is not an easy thing. You are seeing people who are stoning you, and their aim is to kill you. And the last breath he has, he uses to pray for them. He says, Father, don't lay this to their charge. That is the love of God. Look at what the Bible says. He said, when you do that, you are acting like your father. So when you do otherwise, you are acting like Satan. And it's so saddening that ministers, people who call themselves ministers of God, are inciting us against God. Telling you that you should need to kill them before they kill you. And they are agents of Satan. Because what they are trying to do is to lure you out of the spirit and to bring you to the realm of the flesh, where Satan will not take hold of you. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. From verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continued steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the same, giving to hospitality. Look at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse. Have you seen believer who curse? For me, I don't get it. Who are confident in cursing? Pastor who curse their members. Who curse? But Jesus said, bless. Don't curse them. He said, pray for them. Pray that God will bless them. This is walking in love. Verse 17. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not revenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is scriptures. Why do we, when you see all manners of crowd, and they gather, and the only thing we are praying, die, 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 die. And friends, and you are seeing scripture that is so clear like this. And you are leading multitude in collusion to God. The Bible says, if you are a follower of those who do good, who can harm you? Why are you afraid of what the devil can do to you? Listen, if the little fear you have for the devil, if you can put that fear on God, your life will be transformed. Those who fear God don't fear Satan. The reason why you fear Satan is because you don't fear God. Because if you fear God, God becomes your defense. This is a scripture that is so clear. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Can you read on? Let's go on. Verse 22. Okay, that's all. Is that I omitted one or two things? Yeah, verse 20. Verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coal of fire on his head. Now listen to this. You know what I realize? I've come to realize that love is both a weapon of war and weapon of defense. When you walk in love, you build a defense around yourself. Because you're walking in God. Because God is love. And when you walk in love also, you are also setting up an attack system against the enemy. God begins to fight your battle for you. Because you are walking in love. look at what Jesus said. I mean, what the Bible says. He said, if you feed your enemy, what are you doing? You're actually fighting them. Huh? This is an attack. Hello? This is what? This is an attack. He said, you are. He said, for indeed you will heap coal of fire on their head. So it's actually a weapon of war. But he doesn't want you to fight in the flesh. You just have to fight. Love them. Beat your classmates who are cursing you, who are yabbing you, who are messing around, who hate you. The Bible says you love them. When they have the need and you have the opportunity, help them. And by so doing, you are what? Now, this is what this thing, you God brings them to a point in life that they will realize what they have done. As a matter of fact, they will be the one apologizing and crying and say, we want the God that you are serving. Because what God intends at the end of the day is that these people should be saved. That these people should be saved. God doesn't want them to die. Because the death of a sinner doesn't cause joy in heaven. So when you ask them to die, that doesn't bring satisfaction to God. Oh, we have lost someone. It is the death of a saint that brought joy. Because we know this one is coming to rest. There is joy in heaven over a soul that repents. So when this one repents, God is happy. Heavens rejoice. So, Satan introduces persecution, trials, troubles of this world in order to cause us to fall away from faith. But God allows it because those are the things that strengthen our faith in him. That those are things that reveals if our faith in God is genuine or not. And if we must undo this inevitable persecution, then we have to handle it in God's way. We love, we walk in love, we don't walk in hatred, we walk in love. Hallelujah. So let's pray that God should help us. Let's ask God for grace. Let's ask him for grace. Let's ask him for grace. The grace to follow. The grace to do God's bidding. The grace to do God's bidding. Let's ask for grace. Let's ask for grace. Father, we ask for your grace. We exalt and bless you. Grace of God. Grace of God. Yes, Lord. Grace to follow, to walk in love, and not to walk in hatred. Grant us strength. Grant us the grace. In the name of Jesus.